5 minutes later, he was sitting up and rubbing the side of his head, where he had quite a large swelling. "Who the hell was that woman?" he said. "Why are we surrounded by squirrels, and what do they want?" "I've been pestered by squirrels all night," said Arthur. "They keep on trying to give me magazines and stuff." Ford frowned. "Really?" he said. "And bits of rag." Ford thought. "Oh," he said, "is this near where your ship crashed?" "Yes," said Arthur. He said it a little tightly. "That's probably it," said Ford. "Can happen. Ship's cabin robots get destroyed. The cybermines that control them survive and start infesting the local wildlife. Can turn a whole ecosystem into some kind of helpless thrashing service industry, handing out hot towels and drinks to passers-by. Should be a law against it. Probably is. Probably also a law against there being a law against it, so everybody can get nice and worked up. Hey-ho. What did you say?" "I said," said Arthur, "and the woman is my daughter." Ford stopped rubbing his head. "Say that one more time." "I said," said Arthur huffily, "the woman is my daughter." "I didn't know," said Ford, "that you had a daughter." "Well, there's probably a lot you don't know about me," said Arthur. "Come to mention it, there's probably a lot I don't know about me either." "Well, well, well," said Ford, "when did this happen?" "I'm not quite sure." "Oh, that sounds like more familiar territory," said Ford. "Is there a mother involved?"
"Trillion," said Arthur.
"Trillion? I didn't think that..."
"No. Look, it's a bit embarrassing."
"I remember she told me once she had a kid," said Ford, "but only sort of in passing. I'm in touch with her from time to time. Never seen her with the kid."
Arthur said nothing.
Ford started to feel the side of his head again in some bemusement. "Are you sure this was your daughter?" he said.
"Tell me what happened," said Arthur.
"Phew! Long story. I was coming to pick up this parcel I'd sent myself here, care of you." Well, what was all that about?" said Arthur.
"I think it may be something unimaginably dangerous."
"And you sent it to me?" protested Arthur.
"Safest place I could think of. I thought I could rely on you to be absolutely boring and not open it. Anyway, coming in at night, I couldn't find this village place. I was going by pretty basic information. I couldn't find any signal of any kind. I guess you don't have signals and stuff here."
"That's what I like about it," said Arthur.
"Then I did pick up a faint signal from your old copy of the guide, so I homed in on that, thinking that would take me to you. I found I'd landed in some kind of wood, couldn't figure out what was going on. I get out and then see this woman standing there. I go up to say hello, then suddenly see that she's got this thing."
"What thing?" said Arthur.
"The thing I sent you, the new guide, the bird thing. You were meant to keep it safe, you idiot, but this woman had the thing right there by her shoulder. I ran forward and she hit me with a rock."
"I see," said Arthur. "What did you do?"
"Well, I fell over, of course. I was very badly hurt. She and the bird started to make off towards my ship, and when I say my ship, I mean an RW6.
"A what?"
"An RW6, for Zark's sake. I've got this great relationship going now between my credit card and the guide's central computer. You would not believe that ship, Arthur. It's..."
"So an RW6 is a spaceship, then?"
"Yes, it's..." "Oh, never mind. Look, just get some kind of grip, will you, Arthur? Or at least get some kind of catalogue." At this point, I was very worried, and I think, I was down on my knees and breathing profusely. So I did the only thing I could think of, which was to beg. I said, "Please, for Zark's sake, don't take my ship, and don't leave me stranded in the middle of some primitive Zarking forest with no medical help and a head injury. I could be in serious trouble, and so could she."
"What did she say?"
"She hit me on the head with a rock again."
"I think I can confirm that that was my daughter."
"Ah, sweet kid."
"You have to get to know her," said Arthur.
"Oh, she eases up, does she?"
"No," said Arthur, "but you get a better sense of when to duck." Ford held his head and tried to see straight. The sky was beginning to lighten in the west, which is where the sun rose. Arthur didn't particularly want to see it. The last thing he wanted after a hellish night like this one was some blasted day coming along and barging about the place.
"What are you doing in a place like this, Arthur?" demanded Ford.
"Well," said Arthur, "making sandwiches, mostly."
"What?"
"I am, probably was, the sandwich maker for a small tribe. It was a bit embarrassing, really. When I first arrived, that is, when they rescued me from the wreckage of this super-high-technology spacecraft which had crashed on their planet, they were very nice to me, and I thought I should help them out a bit. You know, I'm an educated chap from a high-technology culture. I could show them a thing or two. And, of course, I couldn't. I haven't got the faintest idea, when it comes down to it, of how anything actually works. I don't mean, like, video recorders. I mean, nobody knows how to work those. I mean, just something like a pen or an artesian well or something. Not the foggiest. I couldn't help at all. One day I got glum and made myself a sandwich. That suddenly got them all excited. They'd never seen one before. It was just an idea that had never occurred to them, and I happened to quite like making sandwiches, so it all sort of developed from there."
"And you enjoyed that?" said Ford.
"Well, yes, I think I sort of did, really. Getting a good set of knives, you know, that sort of thing." You didn't, for instance, said Ford, find it mind-witheringly, explosively, astoundingly, blisteringly dull?
Well, no, not as such, not actually blisteringly.